Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Season 3, Episode 17, The Team. And we are going to be talking all about that crazy twist. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What a twist! Oh my gosh, hello and welcome, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Tonight we have so much to talk about tonight. Let me introduce my fantastic panel, Steve Kaufman.
Hi, I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. I am also known as the life decoy model of Jesse Klein.
Wow, you butchered that.
I did. I destroyed that, but I moved forward with it.
I'm not going to let you do that.
Hey, guys, I'm Zach Wilson. You can tweet me throughout the week, throughout the show, that Zach Wilson. Obviously, we're missing Joyce and Jesse tonight.
We are indeed.
Our J's are gone.
Both are, yeah.
I don't know what the significance of that is.
JJ's gone. JJ. Team JJ.
Well, we haven't even gotten JJ yet.
JJ Abrams used to do this show?
I was talking about J. Jonah Jameson.
Ah, well, Spider-Man stuff. Anyway, guys, I'm your host, Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. We are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVMarvel for all of you guys following along on Twitter. And we are keeping an eye on the live chat as we speak.
Yep, I've got you guys. I'm very excited to hear what you guys have to say about tonight's episode. Because what?
For real?
I gotta say that, like, this was, I mean, from a dramatic standpoint, Daisy was the best possible person they could have picked.
I think this was the right way to play this episode. Like, I was engaged, like, as the episode was going along, like, I was reconsidering every single one, because there's only four of them, so it's not hard to, like, at each pace be like, okay, well, if they did Joey, it would be this type of episode. If they did Yo-Yo, it would be this. And, like, my money was on Lincoln most of the time, but that was partially just, like, they were playing with our expectations.
Exactly. The whole scene a couple episodes ago about him getting knocked out while catching a glimpse at Hive, that was all a big red herring.
Yes.
Yeah, and again, masterfully played, because they planted that seed in everybody's mind two episodes ago. It was a really good long con.
Really good long con, because they were just... They knew they were going to do that.
Exactly. Yeah,
yes, they knew they were going to do that.
Yeah.
You mean the writers or Hive?
Both. No, But this episode did a great job of giving everyone enough depth.
Yeah. Again, there's been so much emphasis on fate and everything happening for a reason that you can definitely tell that the writers had a plan and that they stuck to that plan over the course of the entire... They're not just making stuff up as they go along. Everything's happening for very specific reasons.
Yeah. Like, Lincoln, like, not just, like, the way that they played him in this episode, but also just, like, following Secret Warrior's plot lines. Like, it fit. It worked for Lincoln to betray them. He'd gotten close to our main hero.
He keeps secrets from people all the time because he thinks that's the right move.
He's not fully trusting of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet.
He breaks protocol all the time. He disobeys orders. Yeah,
he's not top billing on the show. His IMDb doesn't go past a certain...
He hasn't been with us since the beginning. He was some guy that came in, and we're like, who is this guy? Who's also very handsome, but still, who is this guy?
Who are you, Electric Man?
It was a really good move, and I really liked the way they played everybody's paranoia. One of my favorite horror movies is the movie The Thing, the 1982 version from John Carpenter. Because it's just something really great of knowing that somebody in the same room with you is not really a person anymore.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a really terrifying, but at the same time, very relatable situation, because just the way the paranoia spreads, it is like wildfire, but if you allow it to get out, you may, in fact, do way more harm than good. So I really appreciated this episode just because I happen to really love that movie.
Yeah. I mean, this is a very classic TV drama episode of like one person's the rat. Who is it? And like, how can
Reservoir
you prove?
Reservoir Dogs. This was our Reservoir Dogs.
Or Clue. I thought Clue myself.
Yeah. Who's the murderer?
Depending on the ending.
Like,
I was hoping for that ending, actually.
It's not the first time that you'll see it on TV. I don't even think it's the first time we've necessarily seen it on S.H.I.E.L.D. I think in the days where Warden Ward was just turning on us, I feel like we had this situation to a smaller degree. But like, you always get that episode of... Who can you trust? and this, I thought they did a good job of handling it, because even though, like, okay, like, we know they're going to mess with us, we know they're going to use like diversion tactics on who it's going to be, but it was handled well. And even if I like, I didn't necessarily see this coming. There are times at which I was like, it would be a good twist if Daisy turned out to be the one that's infected, but I wasn't like, she's definitely the one. It was never definitely that's what's happening.
What do we know about this infection, though?
Well,
is Daisy dead now?
No.
Or it can be cured and
fixed? There's a difference between the two of them. So, the, like, Hive can take over a dead body.
Okay.
And we know that if he bathes in caramel sauce,
that dead corpse can be restored to almost brand new.
Yeah, exactly. but with Inhumans, now we got some clarification, because we really hadn't had full clarification of what he does to Inhumans. Now we know.
It's officially mind control.
So he puts a virus, like brain slug style, on your brain, like directly on
onto your brain.
And that controls. I like the they got into a little bit of like, they didn't have to like say this is how it works, but like Fitz and Simmons were talking about, and like, I like the idea that it controls like dopamine levels and stuff like that, and that could be what keeps them in control.
And again, and that explains why there's this sense of belonging and this sense of like, oh, there was this void in my life and now it's being filled, is because he's messing with the chemicals in their brain.
Yeah, it totally works. Like, she's, what did she say? She's just like, it's beautiful.
I like when any of these shows goes to any length to explain stuff with science. I'm looking at you, Arrow.
Well,
start using science again.
And I like that it's a scientific thing, and I like that it's still her brain, but like a chemically altered version of it, because you can still see Daisy in there. It's just her brain has been, it's not like a possession thing. It is just very much, chemically speaking, her brain is being messed with, and that's what's causing this mind control. I really like that. It's not something you see, like, not very many shows take the time to, and granted, like you said, they didn't necessarily go into a full explanation, but not very many shows will plant enough like clues like that for you to put that together yourself. Yeah. They'll just straight up say, oh yeah, it's mind control and it's just puppetry and there's not as much to it.
They use that as a like almost an ex machina where it's just like, nope, that's why.
That's why it works.
Where it's like, if you plant it and you actually just let it sit, it feels much more organic and natural, like this did.
I will say, there are a lot of mind controllers running around in the MCU.
That's very true.
Because so far we've had, now we have Hive. Mm. Before that we had Kilgrave. And before that we had Loki.
Loki with his Loki pokey stick.
I forgot about Loki too. we had Mr. Ringman. Doctor.
Oh yeah, using a persuasion.
Doctor Kevorkian.
Doctor Persuasion.
I can't remember his name offhand.
We can call him Kevorkian
from Agent Carter.
Yeah.
We know it.
His whole persuasion bit. Yeah. Playing with one's mental state is absolutely nothing new for the Marvel Cinematic Universe as it is now. But again, if you're going to keep using that same trope, I like that they're finding different ways of using it.
Yeah, it's not just, you are mind controlled now. It's like, no, there's a very specific way and there are very specific rules. Like, Hive cannot just mind control anybody. He can only control Inhumans. And like he had like this time we can see the infection as opposed to Kilgrave, but it's just there.
Yeah, Kilgrave. It's just, although it is interesting that they because his ability came about in a very different way, and you haven't seen Jessica Jones, I won't go into it, but his ability came about in a very different way, but manifests itself in a sort of similar manner, but you see the symptoms very, very differently. So again, yeah, it's just very interesting to see. It's all in the execution.
Yeah. By the way, if you haven't seen Jessica Jones, why are you watching this podcast? Turn it off and go watch Jessica Jones. We'll be here on YouTube and iTunes in perpetuity.
No, you
can come back. Go watch Jessica Jones.
Download the podcast and then listen to the podcast while watching Jessica Jones.
That no, don't confusing. Do that. Just watch Jessica Jones.
Just, all yeah, right, do that, Shield. Do that.
Download the podcast,
pour
most importantly.
Pour yourself a glass of whiskey and watch Jessica Jones. That is the best way to do it. Anyway, let's give. Do you guys want to comment any more about the science of Marvel? Because this, again, Marvel science is fantastic.
I love the science stuff. I'm happy that they're going into it, and the Marvel, the MCU, and even the, like, especially on TV, has not shied from explaining these things.
Yeah.
It's like when they introduce Thor, like. We don't need to know the mechanics of Thor's hammer, but getting into its science with a different name.
Yeah.
It like gives it a worldly grounding that helps it make sense. And now that we know how Hive works, while the team attempts to cure it, to like help to save Daisy, to save anyone else that's infected, we can understand how they're doing it, as opposed to just like, we came up with a cure this week.
Yeah.
Like, no, we can see, okay, they need to find a way to get it to detach itself from the brain, either by killing it in there without hurting the brain, or just by making the brain resistant to it. There's a step that I can see them having to take.
Yeah, is there a chemical component that we can create to counteract this? What can we do?
Do they need to ask Kilgrave? Can Kilgrave control it?
Now, that's an interesting question.
Probably
whether
not.
Or not Kilgrave would be able to control in humans, because he only ever really... I don't think he interacts with any non-human people.
But he affects powered people.
But they're not inhumans, though.
Yeah, but I don't think inhumans are that much different from us biologically.
From regular
that he
people.
Wouldn't be able to control them.
Like,
but it would be interesting if he tried to control one of Hive's inhumans, and then what if they had directives that were opposing? Would they just suffer a complete mental breakdown on the spot? So, like, you know when you just have that, like, you're like, I have to be in two places, they both need me to be there, like, I have no idea which to pick.
It would be like scanners and their brain would just explode. Or that, now again, put Kilgrave and Hive in the same room together, and would they be able to control one another?
Well, Hive would not be able to control Kilgrave.
Because he's not an inhuman.
Would Kilgrave... Oh, yeah.
But would Kilgrave be able...
Or would Hive try to kill Kilgrave and then inhabit his already powered body so he could control humans?
Kilgrave's dead. Or if Kilgrave controls Hive...
Spoilers, dude!
I heard myself saying, I'm sorry.
If Kilgrave controls Hive, he could then control inhumans through Hive. It would be by proxy.
Wait, we're going to move on from this particular topic.
Talk about this all day. This is the most
too.
Fun.
We need to control ourselves. We want to hear what you guys have to say in the chat, but we want to control ourselves.
I was going to say before,
we'll
Kilgrave is damn like crazy. So Hive would have fun with that.
Oh yeah, no, that
damn
would be
crazy
that,
is what I was
that
saying.
That would be a hoot, and I am all for David Tennant being in anything really. I want to talk about because so much of this episode focused on all of the Inhumans feeling like the odd man out. I do want to touch on each of these Inhumans and their life outside of S.H.I.E.L.D. before they get called back into active duty.
Yeah, that's cute.
Because poor Joey. Mm. He finds a nice boy, they're having a good time, and sure enough, duty calls, and he has to run. And it was a cute scene and everything like that, but at the same time, you can totally tell S.H.I.E.L.D., you can't have S.H.I.E.L.D. in your life and still have a personal life. S.H.I.E.L.D. has to be your life if you're going to be a part of it in any way.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting that they gave them that option in the first place. Mm. Like, whereas most of the time, it's like agents are in or they're out.
I mean, a free iWatch is a free iWatch.
Yeah, Apple I watch, love the sorry. Standard S.H.I.E.L.D. issue iWatch.
Although, it's a different S.H.I.E.L.D. now that Coulson's running it as opposed to, you know, before S.H.I.E.L.D. fell apart. And the other thing is that he was thrust into this world, so as long as he's, like, not causing trouble, they can kind of let him go off on his own before he becomes a full-fledged agent. Mm. And again, the whole idea of the Secret Warriors being a team in general is still something they're taking under consideration. So it makes sense, but at the same time, eventually, if the Secret Warriors do become a legit team, then goodbye personal life. Your yeah. life is going to be the team at that point.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Like, the Secret Warriors team that Daisy leads in the book is very much just, like, one of many superpowered teams. Like, it was just, like, her the team that Fury gave her. And, I mean, that was just also because it's the comic book universe, so there's yeah. like 18 times as many superpowered characters. But
yeah, I guess superhero yeah. teams in the Marvel universe are really like a dime a dozen.
Kind of.
Comics. Yeah.
I mean, it's Great Lakes Avengers was literally
like
mentioned
soccer
last week.
It's like soccer clubs. Yeah. I think it's the exact same thing. There's the like A
how there's
League,
eight
B League
teams just in the Premier League in London.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway.
Which, by the way, they should have a company softball team. That would be fantastic. And
I feel
that
like
way
it would be real imbalanced.
Everybody would just play to eventually play the Avengers. And the Avengers
Yo-Yo
would
just like,
them.
She's like, I'm at first.
But anyway. But yeah, no, there are a lot of different superhero teams. But this one in particular, it's been burning all season because we got the tease way before season 3 ever started, and it's been kind of a slow burn this entire season, and now it looks like the team is broken. I'm sure it's going to come back together once all this Hive stuff is resolved, but it you know, you have to ask yourself whether or not Yo-Yo and Joey and Lincoln are even going to want to come back after the dust settles for all this, because Joey, he makes it very clear that, you know, he just wants a normal life. And Yo-Yo, God bless her, she's practicing her English so that she could talk to Mac again. And it was Aww. Just the cutest thing. But you can also tell that, you know, the bureaucracy of S.H.I.E.L.D. does not jive with her in any way, shape, or form. So much so that when they try to put her in quarantine, she's like, okay, screw S.H.I.E.L.D. No, this is terrible. You lied to me.
If there ever is a Secret Warriors again in this universe, I don't think they'll ever be very officially a part of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I disagree, but it's going to be an uphill battle. Mm. I think that if we're going to get anything, we're going to get these three and maybe more coming together to save Daisy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think, because absolutely that is something that could unite them. Like, I think once they know that Daisy, who's like the one that brought them together, has been compromised like this, I think it's going to be a very different reaction, even next episode, yeah. when they're all like, oh man, we all got played.
Mm.
Like, it wasn't even just like, because she was the one like that brought them in, and they thought was like, corralling them for S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, it was like, no, everyone at S.H.I.E.L.D. was like, when you stop and look at the way they handled it, they were all very well, they handled this very well, like very calmly, and just, oh, okay, we have this to do, like, we possibly have an intruder, so we're going to quietly lock down the base. We're not going to worry anyone, because the person that is infected, we can't let them know. No one's leaving. It's not like the humans can go, but the inhumans can't. It was like, everyone's on lockdown, but you are the only ones who could be infected by Hive, so we have to figure this out.
Real question, how do we think Nick Fury would have handled this?
Nick Fury would have locked them down,
yeah,
like,
no,
in a
he
heartbeat.
Would have iced them. He
that's what I'm thinking. Nick Fury would have iced every inhuman in there and figured it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it would have been 100%. A terrible episode. It would have been the worst episode.
All of that really interesting dialogue and the paranoia, it would have been like...
I disagree. I think that actually would have been an amazing episode, because seeing, like, Sam Jackson, Nick Fury versus, like, Daisy in the room, because Daisy would have been acting pissed, whether or not to keep her cover or... like, not, like, playing along, infected Daisy playing along with the situation would still be yelling at Fury for, like,
and
what,
he'd
how
say,
could you...
go the F to sleep.
I'm tired of these mother effing inhumans on this mother effing plane.
They're not on a plane. They're in a base.
On this mother effing base. Sorry.
Yeah, can't ever pass up a chance to talk about Samuel L. Jackson.
Ever.
But yeah, no, there's... Again, you, especially when things end up the way they are, you have to wonder. You're sure that like Coulson has to ask himself those questions of like, how would a Fury? And a lot of this, the theme of this episode did have to do with leadership. That it's never gets easier leading people. It only gets harder, especially when they come to depend upon you more. Mm-hmm. And you get a lot of that with Coulson. It arguably failing his duties as a leader by going out for revenge. You get a lot of that, too. Before we find out that Daisy's infected, when her team is fractured, she very much blames herself. And you probably have to feel like there's some level of sincerity there because, again, part of it is still her. So you have, like, again, all this was an act. So it's really hard to say. But I know that the real Daisy would very much blame herself. Like, that is something that Daisy would do. Even though this was all an act, she was in character.
Yeah. It worked. I mean, evil Daisy. Like, I'm trying to figure out what we should call her. Chat, if you have any ideas, I'd love to hear them. Yeah, like, what should we be referring to Hive Daisy? Like,
Hazy? No, I don't want to hear Hazy? The ship name because
it's not a ship. We're not shipping it, Steve.
We're shipping.
Come in here trying to ship villains.
Like,
Daisy? Virusy Daisy? Virus Daisy?
No, we'll figure it out. Chat,
the chat will get it. The chat will cover us.
We believe in you. But I will say that, like, again, from a dramatic standpoint, Daisy is the best pick given her former relationship with Ward and given her relationship to the rest of the team as the leader of the Secret Warriors and as Coulson's not-quite daughter. It makes sense that she would be the one to be picked. That being said, it was still like, I'm like, no, I don't want to see them being all intimate and stuff like that, and it looks like we're going to get some of that in the next episode, and I don't like it. I know the shippers are going to go crazy, but I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't know, that's super immature and childish, but I don't like it.
I actually do like it, because we get to see what it would look like had they shipped. But knowing full well, it's almost like a dream sequence. It's like if we zoomed out and they were all in a, whatchamacallit,
snow globe.
So to
be together, they only had to join a cult. Awesome.
Exactly. Well, to be together, Ward would have to die, and then she would have to have some type of pathogen in her brain. True love, guys.
Sounds like true love.
I think that's what love is, actually, pathogen in your brain.
What we've got so far is Heisey. A lot of people are saying Dive.
I like Dive.
Dive's not bad.
I'm on Team Dive right now.
Yeah. Haywood is saying Jai Ying Jr. Shadow said Sky. Shadow, she is Daisy. She goes by Daisy. You respect her truth.
She's Daisy now, yep. I like Dive.
Skyfall. Again, same problem, but it makes me laugh.
Skyfall's a great name, but again, she's Daisy now. Anyway.
Stop with it. There's a whole run of Skies now. Guys, she's not Sky.
Anyway.
Guys, I think you just want to get a reaction out of Zach.
We do have more things to talk about in this episode. Is there anything else from the Daisy side of things that we want to touch on before we take a quick break?
Oh, well, it was so creepy when she says, "We care about you."
It was probably the creepiest moment in the entire episode, and it was like, if anybody likes Venom as a bad guy, and just anytime any one singular person says "we," chills. But yeah, no, that was really good and really creepy, and really illustrates just how much Hive really does mess with your brain, much like love messes with your dopamine levels. It is love. But yeah, anything else?
It won't border on predictions as much as, do we think there's any one in the universe that we've seen on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. so far that can come in and help?
A lot of people were making the prediction of Lash. Like, okay. It's Lash's destiny to take out Hive. That seems to be the running prediction right now.
I still think that's where the season will wind up. Mm. Something that I feel like we need to, that I need to say, because I didn't last week. I missed it until, like, right after the show, and I'm so embarrassed, because I didn't call out that James, who we met last week, is almost definitely Hellfire. Because he's an Inhuman,
yes.
So a powered guy who's, like, into, like, blowing stuff up.
Who's got a chip on his shoulder, clearly.
Yeah, and like, he looks just like the comic book version. And it's just like, ugh, I missed it. But for the record, yeah, I think that's also, well, I'll save that for predictions.
All right. All right, cool. So, folks, we're going to take a quick break to talk to you guys about iTunes. No, iTunes?
We're going
to,
oh, wait, maybe. We are.
Okay. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, leave a comment, and subscribe. It's the best way to let our producers know that you like the show that we're putting on. And also, we just love hearing from you guys. And you get a little shout out on the show.
Yeah, you do. Who else? Who do we have this week? Oh my God, so many! I love you guys so much. We have Brutal Thinker says loving it. Although my inner circle refers to me as the Brutal Thinker, I don't know what that means. I submit to the power of the hosts led by the Menguin.
Aww.
Well, there's so much I want to blow through, so we have more time to talk about this episode. They said I can. Basically, they said, keep up the good work.
Aw, thank you, guys.
Fabulous. 5 stars from the Tumbling Block. A perfect blend of predictions, comic book tidbits, and analysis. I love this show. I always listen on Wednesday mornings on my commute to school. It always makes my day a little brighter, thanks to the fantastic hosts.
Aw.
Kitten Cole, great show as always. Made my day. Hey, guys, great show again. I watched a few after shows, and none of them beat this one.
Aww.
Love the theories and everything else. Can't wait to hear more. CPT Moses, a small Easter egg from season 2 finale. First off, you guys are all amazing. I love you. I especially enjoy getting extra comic knowledge since I've never read them before. Second, when May was cleaning out her locker at the end of season 2, when she closes the locker door, the number on it is 33, just like a certain face-stealing agent.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm pretty sure we commented on
that. Yeah, probably. Alex G, 83, awesome. I found you guys when Zach, a.k.a. the Voice of Doom.
Voice of Doom.
I am Doom. mentioned the show on Marvel Movie News. Big fan of you guys. Keep up the great work. Thanks for joining, Alex. I'm glad you're watching all of the AfterBuzz and Popcorn Talk Marvel content that we could possibly put out. And there's more, and I'll plug that later. Mama Little Seven says, back to the best podcast ever. AfterBuzz, besides to make sure everyone knows this is the best podcast. Yes, I said best. I swear, I just comment to read Phil Coulson's left-hand comments.
Speaking of, the axe was, like, mounted on the wall prominently in this episode. Yep. It was great.
It's a Kree Pokeball. Prodigal 358 says the orb is a Pokeball and they will catch him, I'm assuming they mean Hive, at the end of the season. Next year, if they fight a big bag, they will take him out by saying, Alvius, I choose you.
What a starter. Gosh. Would that be a starter or a legendary? It would be a legendary, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be a Master Ball.
How is that not a Master Ball? That is totally a Master Ball.
And lastly, Phil Coulson's left hand writes in and says, I saw something I want to unsee. Dear AfterBuzzers, is that a word? Probably not. I think we've decided it's a word.
Yeah,
that's an officially trademarked word.
Yes. Okay, so you guys remember that Dub Smash Wars between Haley Atwell and Clark Gregg, right? Well, in October, they taped an episode for Lip Sync Battle, and the other day they released a promo for
yes,
it.
They did.
Yeah, they did. Clark Gregg is dressed up as sexy flight attendant Britney Spears, and he sings Toxic complete with backup dancers. I don't know whether or not to be horrified or amazed. I honestly don't. I know you guys say you might sing again or cosplay, but for the love of God, please don't do both.
You don't want us to have cute girl backup dancers? What's wrong with you?
He never said anything about the backup dancers.
Fair enough.
He just said we should not cosplay and sing at the same time. I don't know if I could take it. Gratefully yours, Phil Coulson's left hand. P.S. You haven't heard the last of me, Big Red Axe.
The saga continues.
Oh,
yeah,
Phil
if
Coulson's
you guys
left hand.
Haven't seen the... I was going to mention that in News and Gossip. But yeah, if you guys haven't seen the clip yet, it's like a 40-second clip. I believe the lip sync episode airs on Thursday. I will be watching that, and it's hilarious.
I will be watching the YouTube clip that goes viral the next morning, and then watch the whole show because of the clip.
It is amazing. It's just a thing of wonder and beauty. Anyway,
by the way, guys, we are up to 558. Ratings.
We're so close, guys. You guys can help us sing or not sing.
We're gonna sing whatever happens. It's just whether or not we torture you guys exactly. with it on the air.
What number do they need?
600.
600?
That's only 42 to go, you guys.
Yeah. You guys can make it happen. You can save yourselves from the awfulness that is our vocal cords.
Are they singing, I Will Survive?
No, we already did that one.
Oh, okay, that already happened.
we're doing something different. Anyway, let's get back to the episode.
Yes.
But yeah, if you guys want to keep up with us, you can also keep up with us at ABTV Marvel. Tweet us your thoughts and theories and leave great comments about the shows that you like. Anywho, yeah, let's get back to this episode because, well, we had some Yo-Yo and Max shipping moments too. The real
Yo-Yo Mac?
That's what I'm calling them.
Momo?
Yo-Yo Mac? I'm thinking instead of Yo-Yo Ma, Yo-Yo Mac.
It's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
It's a good ship name.
But Momo, just I can't get past that. That's fantastic. But the one that's been building up for three seasons now is the moment we had with Fitz and Simmons. Because we had a lot of interesting stuff with them. Again, trying to lock down the base with quarantine. Fitz was kind of BA in this episode, like with the chlorine gas and everything like that. But this, it's interesting because the two of them seemingly keep going back and forth on being resigned about the possibility of them being together. Like, in the episode where we get glimpses of the future, Fitz is saying you can't change the future, and Simmons at the very end of the episode is resigned to take his hand, you know, again because there's no stopping it. But in this episode, he's the one that seems a little bit more reluctant, and I gotta say, the stuff with them, in my mind, isn't always handled well, but I really feel like the moments of intimacy they had in this episode felt very organic and very natural. I want to know, what was your guys' take?
I completely agree, especially the kiss.
Yeah. Like, that didn't feel forced, right?
No, it didn't. It felt right. Like, them, since they started hooking up, like, I know, like, early on, I was very much like, yeah. Fitz, get the girl. But it's like, it's sort of, like, I don't know that it's weird now, because it's not wrong. It's just, like, it feels odd.
Yeah.
But this kiss felt very natural. Like, I've sort of been there. Like, where you're, like, when you start to, when you date a friend, and, like, that first kiss is, like, very odd.
Yeah.
Like, very, like
well,
I this, don't know if this,
this
is okay.
This isn't their first kiss, but, yeah, since starting over, this is their first kiss.
But it's their first casual kiss. That's the thing. This is their first, like, not, like, I just have to kiss you because I'm so madly in love with you. This is just, like, hey, we're hanging out and we're having a cute moment.
Mm-hmm. And those two are still pretty much brother and sister.
Like, don't say that. Yeah.
No,
don't
but
say
not
that
after
that way.
This episode.
No, but
I have a caption that I can use for just they're such an occasion now.
Wow. All right. They're that close. And that's what's making this weird, and it's necessary that they take these baby steps.
Yeah, I saw that. Somebody made a meme of Megan's last week when she was like, TV, stop with the incest.
Yeah, it was real
but
gross.
They're not actually
but
brothers.
No, but
no,
the,
not
the Hive kiss with the with Malik's.
Oh, because Hive is like sort of Malik's daughter's, like the daughter Malik, like sort of her uncle, but not really.
But
he
close
is.
Enough.
Like, it's like awkward.
If your uncle was swallowed up by kind of Satan and then
if
took
your uncle
over,
was assimilated into Satan.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's like 1/18th incest, that kiss?
Yes. Can we stop talking about it?
You brought it up.
That would be what, like sixth cousin? I think that's like legally
that's,
okay.
anyway,
second
disgusting.
Cousin is back, on track, okay. Back on track.
Back to it. What were we talking? Fitz and Simmons. Fitz and Simmons. So, again, it's been very interesting because, again, the idea of, like, them being together is an inevitable thing. And then both sort of having different states of mind on that at different points. And to an extent, I feel like, from an audience's perspective, I feel bad for them because the writers are saying, you two are going to end up together. It is your fate. It's on this piece of paper that we've drawn a line on. You will end up together. And to an extent, it's like them coming to terms with that. But again, here, it felt real. Mm. It felt natural.
And also, 2 weeks ago, they disproved they disproved the theory that that was proposed to us about time and space.
No, they very much enforced it.
Yeah, if anything, they like went out of their way to enforce it. Like, this is the part where we hold hands, and they held hands instead of like actively deciding.
In no
deciding,
way was this disproved.
Hey, maybe we should like make this not a thing because like in this thing, our friends die. No, let's embrace it.
Yeah, no, that episode was very much about you can't change your fate. It things are locked in time. It's not crazy wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
Yeah, it's not a rug. It's like a fixed like paint.
But it's actually like a million fixed paints that exist in the same space. And
all right, we're not getting anyway.
But anyway,
no.
If this progresses in the way that it was in this episode, I am all for it because again, their relationship has been so weird over the past season and a half, going on 2 seasons now. So now that we're at this point, I'm like, yes, let's keep it going like it's going here. I am all for that.
I'm excited for the next step. And they're taking it slowly enough, but not like, it doesn't feel unnaturally slow. Because it's not like a main plot point. It's just sort of like there and they remind us of it every now and again.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes center stage, and other times it's just kind of relegated to the side stuff. I know we kind of blew by it a little bit, but I did really like this confrontation that we had between Coulson and Malik. Just them sitting down in the interrogation room.
And again,
Malik knows at some point very soon he's going to meet his end, and it's just kind of a matter of whether or not he's going to help S.H.I.E.L.D. before he does. And they have a very interesting talk about the nature of faith and about false faith and, like, leading the people that you care about into certain doom because you believed in the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I thought it was a very, really interesting, introspective conversation, but I don't know. Did you guys like that scene, or were you guys like, oh, let's just get back to the traitor stuff?
No, I like that a lot. I like when they get into the theology of Hydra, because it's always very interesting.
That's a good way to put it, the theology of Hydra.
It was interesting. Like, I talked about this briefly on when we did like the 1 minute Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. recap that I did on my Marvel movies, basically to send people here so that we could talk about it for an hour. But some people like didn't really like the idea of the Hydra religion. I think it's fascinating because, yeah, anything ancient, like any organization that's been around long enough will probably have religious aspects to it. Because just bottom line, like 400 years ago, that was how you got people to follow you, is you gave them a supernatural reason to.
Well, and even in today's modern society, belief is still a very powerful thing. People join cults all the time because they want something to believe in. Ew. Yeah. Yeah, mind or control stuff aside.
They joined cults because they wanted to believe in something, or they got shot with some weird dust in the eyes, and then they then they're just like,
tomato,
yeah,
tomato.
Or both.
We are beautiful.
Yeah, I was totally expecting her to say, it's beautiful there. And she's like, no, just stop, Daisy.
It's a magical state of being.
It's a magical place.
So we learned as well that it's instantaneous. The hive.
Yeah, pretty much. And it was cool, again, getting to, not to jump around too much, but it was really cool getting to see it happen instead of cutting away just before it does, because up until this point, it was always kind of ambiguous as to whether or not it was straight up mind control or if it was manipulation. I like that they went this route. But going back to this conversation, I like that Coulson acknowledges that it was his quest for revenge that ultimately led to this point. And again, a lot of the religious symbolism that they're using, it's very good. And him talking to Daisy later on saying, you know, it's times like this, I understand why people pray. Again, really, really good parallels between the two different conversations of, like, the dangers of false faith, but at the same time needing something hopeful to cling on to. So it just, again, you don't really necessarily get that a lot in S.H.I.E.L.D. in terms of like those bigger picture questions of like existentialism that we really can't answer.
No, but it's fun. Like, I like that kind of philosophical conversation, and it's very real. Like Coulson, like, acknowledging, yeah, I desperately needed my revenge, and like he says he grew up Catholic, and like his sin came back around to him. Like he actively sought out murder. Yes, it was against a bad person, but he sought out murder, and for it, he may have doomed the planet.
Yeah. Womp womp. And I like what Malik had to say, too. It was a really good line. It was like, oh, yeah, no, it is a god. It's just not our god. Yeah. Or I thought I could resurrect a god. Instead, I unleashed the devil. And it was really good stuff.
I do appreciate the MCU from this show all the way to any of the films, that there can still be a god, at least on like a
philosophical level.
On a philosophical level of like, no, yeah. There's a higher power.
Just wait until we get to Mephisto.
I know, right?
Messing stuff up.
Oh, God.
Because, and he even said, a couple folks in the chat were asking what Coulson meant by I've seen gods bleed. I think he was referring to Thor.
Yeah, absolutely. And Loki. He shot Loki in the face.
Yeah.
That was like, the last
literally
thing he did before he died.
Two gods. Although, to be fair, I don't think Loki actually bled.
No.
And, I don't know, but he was shot through a wall.
Yeah.
I think he meant
seen Thor bleed.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's seen gods bleed.
Yeah, and you could even start to argue, like, Cap and, like, stuff as well in that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yes, Coulson has seen many a god.
Coulson has seen some stuff. We got something from Alvin on the hashtag. Daisy ship name, effed up. The Hive Daisy ship name, effed up.
Yep.
I would have to agree with that.
Yep.
Also,
all right, what else?
Getting a lot of Giant Man love, by the way.
Giant Man.
I love Giant Man. Like, I now have my tiny little mini Ant Man and my big
so
Giant
great.
Man. All right,
so
we have to finish talking about this episode. We're almost out of time.
Is there anything? I feel like we've covered most everything except for the very end, which is the fact that when we get the reveal that it is Daisy, she essentially destroys the base in her wake. And that begs the question of whether or not everybody that we've seen is going to make it out, or whether or not they're going to have even if they do survive, whether or not they're going to have the resources to take on Hive. Because that is their base. Mm. And again, it wouldn't be the first time that the base was destroyed, I feel like, or compromised in some way. It's S.H.I.E.L.D. It kind of happens a lot.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
par for the course.
I think our team is going to be okay, ultimately. Lincoln's in a pretty much, like, everything-proof bunker.
Mm.
I think everyone else is going to be okay, especially once they realize what's happening. They'll get to a safe place. But, like, this is going to cripple S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while.
Yeah.
Not only losing, like, one of their best agents, one of their team leaders, but, like, I don't, like,
their
who knows?
Their only facility.
Yeah. Well, they have other facilities.
They've got their lots main, of facilities.
This is their main facility, though. And they who knows whether or not the bus 2.0 is going to make it out of there.
And unlike when the whole Hydra thing happened, at least this time, S.H.I.E.L.D., though still operating in the shadows, does have the authorization of the U.S. government, and they still have all of the ATCU's stuff at their disposal. So that's good, at the very least. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about for this episode before we move on to straight-up predictions?
Let's get them predictions.
No, let's do it.
Basically talking predictions anyway.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
So, again, plenty of stuff in the promo to make the shippers go crazy.
Oh, my God. He kissed her on the top of the head. I mean, I was like, they set me off with, like, the four, like, episode thing.
Yeah.
Which would be 18, 19, 20, 21. And then we're getting 22 this year or 21?
We should be getting 22 this year.
The May 17th is the last episode, I want to say. It's up on the wiki. I'm pretty sure May 17th is our last episode.
Will die next week if not within the last four.
That would be four more episodes. So we really do only have four more.
Okay.
So they're calling these last four Fallen Agent.
That makes sense.
Of course, that agent is.
Does anybody remember how many episodes we had left when the Winter Soldier thing happened?
It was like episode 16.
Yeah. Winter Soldger was
so
like
last
mid-April.
Five episodes.
Ultron, we had like five left or so. Civil War, we're only going to have one or two.
Now, here's the thing. Given that we have a very distinctive four-episode arc thing going on, will Civil War impact what is happening here? Because there's already a lot going on right now.
Yeah, it has to. There's no way that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the Marvel show to tie into the bigger cinematic universe in the movies.
Yeah, it does that more than any other show.
Yeah, and Civil War, they've been building towards Civil War as a theme for like two seasons now. So there it's definitely going to impact it. I don't know. I have no idea how. It may even be
and
in a minor way.
And those of you who've gotten
way.
To see an early screening of it, don't you say a
yeah.
word.
Anyone who talks about Civil War in this before the chat, I am a moderator, and I will ban you so fast. I will bring the Thor's ban hammer down on you.
I'm just going to come out and say it. I think Daisy dies.
That's an interesting thought. I don't see them doing that. I don't see them doing that just yet, because then who leads Secret Warriors when she's dead? I
think Daisy dies in the sense that everyone in comic book movies die. She dies and we don't see her for 6 weeks next year.
I disagree, because that'd feel really cheap. And like especially this show kicked off with a big death, so they're super jumpy,
And we already had Ward sort of kind of get resurrected, and that the idea that Ward himself will come back when the Hive threat is vanquished, like that's looming over everything. So I don't think they're gonna do any more, you know, BS, Walking Dead style fake out deaths on us.
These are all valid points. I stand by my prediction. Daisy will die.
You crazy,
but
Steve.
But somebody's gonna die.
Yes.
And it could be like as stupid as like a Hydra soldier dies, and that was the death that she saw. or it could be like some people in the chat role were saying May is somebody that could be on the chopping block. Like that would be devastating.
It really would, but I mean, It's really good setup depending on what happens. If Lash really is the one meant to take Hive down, he could very well die in the process. And then if something catastrophic is about to happen after Lash sacrifices himself to save people, May may very well follow suit.
There is, all we see is that is a Quinjet exploding. We see Yo-Yo's necklace
and
we
blood.
See the shoulder of a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, or somebody wearing a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent uniform.
I would go as far as to say a female S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
It did seem that way, but I...
It does very much look like May's outfit or like Daisy's outfit.
Yes.
Or even Yo-Yo's. So yeah, it does have that sort of feminine look to it because it's not like a super broad shoulder thing. But again, looking at just the logo, it's really hard to tell.
Yep.
It could just be the angle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thought. Well, do you guys have any other predictions before we wrap up for the night?
No, I mean, we saw multiple girls coming back. I don't know what her name is. I'm just making that up. But, like, the redhead who can multiply herself.
Yes.
Yep.
Multi-girl.
Shadow clone, no jutsu, whatever. that girl.
I do think that... my big prediction is I think that Daisy, Hive, and Hive's first stop with the Terrigen crystals is James. And we're going to get Hellfire on team with them very quickly.
It's also only a matter of time. Again, now that Daisy has turned that Master Ball thing gets back into Alvius's hands.
Yeah. Oh, Alvy.
Alvy. Oh, Alvy. Classic Alvy. Anyway, guys, thank you guys all so much for tuning in tonight. Steve, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That's KAUF. Man, I'm doing a lot of fun stuff this week, and I tweet about it.
Oh, yeah, she's the ginger ninja. Thank you, St. Pablo. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube at That Zach Wilson, THATZACHWILSON. And also here at AfterBuzz on a whole bunch of shows. We're doing the Daredevil finale on Wednesday night. I'm so excited. Wednesday night at 11 p.m., we're talking Daredevil. I finally have seen it all.
They did it, guys.
I'm so pumped. We're going to break down everything about that episode 13, and the season on Wednesday night. And you can also catch me on Thursday afternoons as the voice of Doom on Popcorn Talks Marvel Movie News.
Did you really make it through the whole thing without getting spoiled?
I had one like mid-season spoiler.
Mm. Okay, well, at least it was mid-season.
Yeah. Are you also the voice of Doom on Disney Movie News, or are you just you?
I popped up there. Yeah.
Okay, like, but are you the voice of Doom, or are you just Zach?
I'm just Zach.
Okay.
Anyway, guys, I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 K's. Be sure to check those out. I poured my heart and soul into these last few articles that I wrote, so please check those out. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We will see you all next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.